Shut up. Hell of a way to start a fucking podcast. I think I dropped 4 F-bombs there. I did. I absolutely did. No doubt. 4 F-bombs. Let's just start this shit. At least it's not an F-bomb.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Game over, man. Game over.
He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
Come on. Playoffs? You kidding me?
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it. Winners. Here we go!
Playing to win the game.
That was one heck of a timeout.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Ron is in trouble.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
B.A. Hunter sarcastically speaking about sports podcast.
Free 7 days a week, wet ass pussy, make that pull out game weak.
Yeah, I'm sure you know that acronym by now. Everybody, I don't know about everybody. At 48, I had to Google it. How many times have you seen like a somebody will text you some acronym, or you'll see some shit up on Facebook, some acronym, and you gotta Google it or go to Urban Dictionary because you don't know what it is or what it means. It's like this generation, they're too lazy to say the whole word, so they come up with acronyms to break it down. It's like, dude, just quit being so linguistically lazy and just say the shit. You know? Fuck, here's that sun. I don't think we're gonna be getting no hour today, Flynn. 100-something degree heat. Nuts, man, how hot it is. But yeah, WAP. Had to look it up. Wet ass pussy. Yes. That would be from the song of the same name featuring Cardi B and was it Megan the Stallion? Who I think I found out about her or discovered her like a year and a half ago. Ooh, thick chocolate chick. You know, singing about sex and dudes and this, that, and the other, which is, ain't like she's invented the wheel. You know, teamed up with Cardi B, another, you know, ex-stripper, rapper. Apparently she was on some reality, Love and Hip Hop, married to, what do they call the Migos? Is it Offset? They got that one song together with, I mean, yeah, she's got the body of a stripper. Look, I'm sure them titties are fake. But damn, that chick's body. Yeah. She's attractive. But only thing about her, man, is, dude, that voice. That voice would be so grating. It would. It would cut into my soul. After I nut. let's be realistic here, fellas. Dude, when dudes, when we want to have sex, we will put up with everything. Everything. We're paying bills. We're babysitting kids. We're going on stupid nature hikes. We're doing all that stupid shit to get up in there. And the minute we do is the minute we are like, oh man, why am I still here? Why the fuck am I even still here? Well, anyway, I'm quickly getting off the subject, which I tend to do all the time. I'm not stopping there, Flynn. Yeah. The video featuring the two rappers, I heard about it again before I even saw it, and people were all up in arms, and then you had guys saying it's the sexiest thing they've seen, and it's hot, and it's this, that, and the other, and I was listening to, what was it, the Sports Junkies, and one of the guys is like, yeah, those chicks are hideous, and I don't find them attractive at all. I'm like, well, first of all, I guess everyone's got their opinion, but you can't say that them chicks are not hideous. They're beautiful women. Maybe they're not. You could say can somebody be beautiful but not attractive? Can you be handsome but not attractive? That's a question to pose. And I'll pose that later on, the book. you know, find me on Facebook and answer that question. But that's neither here nor there for this discussion. Yeah, they make this video, and it's them. It's wet-ass pussy, and just all the lyrics are, you know, sexual innuendo. They're not even innuendos. They're just talking about fuck me, lick me, give me this, give me that. I want it this way, I want it that way. And people are freaking all out about it. How's it going? It's, like, again, they're not inventing the wheel. Lil' Kim, you know what I'm saying? Foxy Brown. I mean, there's a host and host of rappers that have done that shit. Lil' Kim was like the, I think one of his rappers, the first one that was just aggressive like that. And I gotta tell you, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong. I got a thing. I like, you know, a sexually uninhibited woman. Oh yeah. But to just to be just blatant about it. I mean, can we at least leave something to the imagination? You know, it didn't really. I can appreciate it. Good morning. I can appreciate the beauty, the sexuality, but like, when that's like your whole move, it kind of takes away from your art, your creativity. It doesn't kind of, it does take away. So there's a part of me that's just kind of like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like it, but it, yeah. Now, don't tell me I'm not going to watch the video and, you know, get a little aroused, but like, it's not really doing anything for my musical sense. I'll bet that shit's banging up in a club. Is that what they call a club banger? Not that there's anything going on in any club nowadays. Only people up in the club is COVID. Him and him. And again, why did I have to give COVID a gender? And when I did, why did it have to be a dude? Why couldn't it have been a woman? Because, I mean, COVID's fucking us all. Maybe COVID's bi-curious. Maybe COVID, what is it? Sexually fluid, if you will. I know this, man. COVID has fucked our shit up. But back to WAP. I actually, looking at watching the video, it doesn't even, it's not even the most, like, I could probably pick out, like, 10 other videos that were a lot more sexually suggestive and just blatant, you know, as far as, like, moves, what they're wearing, the women, the jiggling, how much ass, how much titties showing. That one was kind of, it was more their words. I mean, it looked fucking expensive, first of all, with the sets. I mean, they come walking through and there's a, what is it? It's a fountain of the two of them back to back with no shirts on, but top, but bottoms on and water shooting out of their tits. Yeah, there's that. And then, like, they're in this house and there's tigers, white tigers. Are they lions? I don't know. And then you got, was it Kylie Jenner? Just making a cameo, walking through, which, you look at her. I don't know, is she the one, the makeup one who's worth $1 billion? Is she? I'm not sure, but, dude, she doesn't, all, every one of them sisters, they all look like Kim Kardashian. And I'm sorry, it's not natural. It's natural, you know what it is? It's naturally paid for. I mean, they're pretty girls, but then you add all that other shit, and you're just like, okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't mind some face hits. I don't mind a little. You know, I think I'm more bothered by fake booty than I am fake boobs. Because when they tend to get ass implants, they're a lot more ridiculous looking now than the boobs are. It's too much. Yeah, Kylie Jenner, worth $1 billion off of makeup sales or some shit. And then there was some story about how she's not really a billionaire and she got pissed off because Forbes did that. And it's like, dude, what who cares? If somebody says I'm anywhere near worth $1 billion, I could give a fuck about you or anything you say. You know why? Because I have $1 billion. That's why. Yeah, Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian. You used to think that she was the one that was like, seemed like she was down to earth, looked more real, you know. Look, there's a little jiggle to her titty. When she moved, there's a little jiggle to it. I like it. Look, if there's no jiggle when you're moving, it ain't real. I didn't, and I'm sorry. I like a little fat. Give me a little fat. Any day of the week. A little fat over a lot skinny. All right? Any day. You know, and in that WAP video, there's plenty of that. Plenty of curves. Plenty of everything B likes. B is me. But not everybody's a big fan of it. Yeah. Like this guy.
Message to all the parents out there, but I caught my kids listening to a song called WAP, and I'm not even going to explain what WAP is, but it's disgusting. And by this artist named Cardi B. I guess the B stands for B word. Pardon my language. But this isn't the music that I grew up with. I grew up with good old-fashioned, wholesome Americana. Okay? This music is garbage. It's disgusting. And women shouldn't talk that way. Women should act ladylike. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go listen to the music that I grew up with, okay? Full of good family values.
Slop on my knob, like corn on the cob.
Watch yourself, BA, now you go lose your oldest friend here.
With the second pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Sacramento Kings select Marvin Bagley III from Duke University. With the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Luka Doncic from Ljubljana, Slovenia, and Real Madrid.
Probably ask yourself, why the fuck am I playing a back-to-back draft picks from the 2018 draft? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. Because Vlade Divac. Yeah, Vlade Divac. Former GM of the Sacramento Kings. I said formerly, because he recently stepped down. We all know Vlade Divac. If you're a basketball fan, you don't have to be a Kings fan. If you're a basketball fan, you know, came into the league, was Lakers. All those great teams, Magic. I think he ended up getting traded or somehow or another ends up in Charlotte and then becomes part of a trade where Charlotte drafts Kobe Bryant and he's part of a package where he gets drafted, gets traded to the Kings. And basically that's like a second half of his career with the Kings. To where he kind of reinvents himself. He's like the veteran with him, Weber, C. Webb, Jason Williams, White Chocolate. All those years, the Kings, it was that streak where the Kings were the Kings, man. They were knocking on the door. And I forget what year it is where they were robbed. Everybody talks about how the Kings were robbed in that series against the Lakers. But Vlade had carved out and etched out a place in Sacramento King fandom. So at the beginning, when he was named general manager, like, all right, this will be cute. We'll see how this goes.
Watch yourself, B.A.
So like I said, basically what I'm saying is we've got a history with this guy. And the history, as far as GM goes, is he's god-awful. Not been very good. Not even average, man. And it ended with that fuck-up. Those two names. Those two. Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley III. I didn't even realize. I went back and did my crack Wikipedia like research, and forgot that Marvin Bagley was the number two pick in the fucking draft. He was number two behind, who was it, Andre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns, who again this season is having a breakout season as well. Bagley was two out of Duke. I mean, word on the campfire is everybody, most of the talking heads predicted that Doncic, who was, what was he, 20 years old, had already been playing pro ball for since he was like six or some bullshit. He was the can't miss pick. And Kings fandom, to be quite honest with you, I don't know if I was even really sold on it either. Because, I mean, like, the whole Euro thing, man, in the beginning, Euro players were considered kind of soft.
you know? So I was just kind of like, okay, he's played, you know, over there all these years. This isn't the NBA. So when the Kings drafted Bagley, at the time I was like, hey, you know what, we'll see, we'll see. Hey, I figured maybe Bagley was the better pick because we had Fox. Fox was like the team, was going to be running the team, De'Aaron Fox. So it's like, you're going to pick another player with ball handling skills, who's basically going to have the ball in his hands through a lot of possessions. So I guess when you think about it in a basketball sense, okay. But what I found out that transpired afterwards is that past head coach Dave Yeager, who was fired, apparently wanted Luka Doncic, but Vlade is like, no. And apparently Vlade and Luka's father didn't get along. So that was all, I guess it was much ado about nothing. So, hey, the rest is history. As you heard, Bagley's 2, Doncic's 3. Doncic ends up, they end up, the Dallas and the, who was it, Atlanta, they trade picks. And who did Atlanta end up getting? Trey. Yeah, Trey. Whatever, Trey. The one kid, he's already balding. He's like 17 years old and already balding. The wannabe Steph Curry. Trey Burke. See, this is why I need a crack research team. But the point is they traded that pick to Dallas Mavericks, who's getting Dirk Nowitzki, who's what, in his 20th season and is basically retiring. And they're like, oh God, the centerpiece, he's going to be the new guy. And I'm glad he retired after, because that, like, watching him play was fucking, it was painful. Just watching him, I'm not even going to say run. I'm not going to say an amble, clip-clop down the court. Was every step looked like it fucking hurt. Every step. Something must be wrong with my TV. It's just completely stopped. Huh. Look, I don't give a care if the TV stops. I don't care if the water stops. But if the air conditioning stops, I'm going to become completely unhinged. Anyway. Look. They get Doncic. We get Bagley. Okay. First season, Jaeger's bringing him in. He's not starting him. He's having him come off the bench. He's playing him limited minutes. I think he got hurt before he even played 1 minute for the Kings, which was basically he's been his calling card for the whole. I mean, dude, he's always hurt. He's yet to play a full season. I don't even know that he's putting together like a string of 10 games. He looked like a promising rookie, but like these last 2 years, I mean, this year's is washed. The dude was hurt most of this year. He gets to the bubble. I don't even think he got to even play in a scrimmage before his foot was broke and he was done for the year. And then, here's where it hurts your soul when you see this guy who's hurt all the time, and then you look and you see Luka Doncic and you see him. I mean, he's first playoff game, he scores 42 points. I was like, he's one of few rookies to ever do that. I mean, he's doing triple doubles. He's leading the team. He's the focal point. You try to play it off, but then like when you look at what you have, you're like, what the fuck, man? I could have had that, but I got this. I mean, hopefully, he can put it together. He can maybe in this offseason, you know, work on his body, his game, drink some fucking milk, do something. Because, man, this shit is fucking painful to watch. It's more painful to watch Luka kill than it is to watch Bagley not. What do we learn from this, folks? What do we learn? It's only sports, man. It's only sports. But you know what the funny thing about that for me is, as I say, like, it's only sports. I get more offended about sporting issues than I do real life issues. Like, dude, 2020, like I said, has sucked. And the suck isn't finished. I'm telling you, when the fucking presidential elections, when that shit starts, man, it's not going to matter who wins. There's going to be somebody pissed off. Going to be a ton of unhinged individuals. But I got to tell you this, though. The debates, Biden against Trump,
those are going to be must-see TV train wrecks. The ratings on that shit are going to be through the roof. I'm going to be watching. Definitely going to be watching. I don't really know what to think about the vice presidential debates, because does Pence, I don't even, dude, what does that guy do? Where is he at? And we've seen Harris. She's ready. Got the power of every black woman in the United States behind her. Well, not every black woman, but you know, I'm not going to beat that dead horse. I said I wasn't going to beat the dead horse, but the political dead horse, but I kind of have to. Had a situation here. I had to evacuate my house because of fires, which is actually a minor part of the segment that I'm trying to lay down, but we'll get back to the fires. But basically, ended over at my mother-in-law's house. It's her dog, and she's watching the Democratic National Convention, which is going on now. That's never anything I usually watch. I probably, like, maybe we'll see clips, or, you know, see a Facebook post or whatever. I mean, in the news, the big thing is that Biden had named Kamala Harris his vice president. And all the jokes that he's not even really trying to run twice. They're already saying, like, she's the vice president. She's probably going to be running shit. She's already starting to vet, you know, vice presidential candidates. Already hasn't even won the seat of president. The Democrats haven't even secured the presidential seat as of yet. Who knows if they will. But long story short, when I walk in there, she's watching, and my mother-in-law is a diehard Democrat. So she's sucking up that Democratic Kool-Aid, period. Not trying to hear shit else. Which, hey, bad, good, whatever. Kamala Harris was speaking, and look, I'm just going to be honest. Like, the bit, what I listened to, she didn't really draw me in, her speaking. Like, she wasn't, I wasn't impressed. There was no oomph there, which is funny, because I made the comment. I'm like, oh, this is Democratic National Convention. And I was like, yeah, she's like Barack spoke earlier. I'm like, wow. She rewound it and let me watch his speech. And obviously he's going to officially endorse his boy, Joe Biden, as vice president. But one thing that he did that I'm like, whoa, shit. He took the time not only to pump up his boy, or his brother, as he said, but he actually leveled Trump. But he did it. He in an eloquent way. He wasn't tacky. He just laid it out there. But while he was speaking, it's like you go like, fuck, man. That's when a president was presidential, which is kind of, in a way, when I say that, that's kind of some bullshit too, in a way, in that, you know, whoever holds the office is the president, and they can act whatever way they want to act and carry themselves. But take all that out of the equation. Look, I came to a political realization that I don't really want to put myself in any side, Republican, Democrat, but Trump's got to go. That guy, he's got to go, because he's made our country so much more. He's so divisive. He's not. He doesn't take the opportunities to bring us together. And I hate to be one of those people that will look. Yeah, I'm gonna vote for Biden because I'm just tired of Trump. Lesser two evils. Yes, I am. Because of anything, I mean, he's not. Yeah, but. Listen, Barack laid it down. Listen to my man, Barack.
Good evening, everybody. As you've seen by now, this isn't a normal convention. It's not a normal time. So tonight, I want to talk as plainly as I can about the stakes in this election. Because what we do these next 76 days will echo through generations to come. I'm in Philadelphia, where our Constitution was drafted and signed. It wasn't a perfect document. It allowed for the inhumanity of slavery and failed to guarantee women, and even men who didn't own property, the right to participate in the political process. But embedded in this document was a North Star that would guide future generations. A system of representative government, a democracy, through which we could better realize our highest ideals. Through civil war and bitter struggles, we improved this Constitution to include the voices of those who'd once been left out. And gradually, we made this country more just and more equal and more free. The one constitutional office elected by all of the people is the presidency. So at a minimum, we should expect a president to feel a sense of responsibility for the safety and welfare of all 330 million of us, regardless of what we look like, how we worship, who we love, how much money we have, or who we voted for. But we should also expect a president to be the custodian of this democracy. We should expect that regardless of ego, ambition, or political beliefs, the president will preserve, protect, and defend the freedoms and ideals that so many Americans marched for, went to jail for, fought for, and died for.
Hi, it's Stacey Abrams. There is a huge fundraising deadline coming up for Senate Democrats, and they need your help right now.
I have sat in the Oval Office with both of the men who are running for president. I never expected that my successor would embrace my vision or continue my policies. I did hope, for the sake of our country, that Donald Trump might show some interest in taking the job seriously, that he might come to feel the weight of the office and discover some reverence for the democracy that had been placed in his care. But he never did. For close to 4 years now, he has shown no interest in putting in the work, no interest in finding common ground, no interest in using the awesome power of his office to help anyone but himself and his friends, no interest in treating the presidency as anything but one more reality show that he can use to get the attention he craves. Donald Trump hasn't grown into the job because he can't. And the consequences of that failure are severe. 170,000 Americans dead. Millions of jobs gone. While those at the top take in more than ever. Our worst impulses unleashed. Our proud reputation around the world badly diminished. And our democratic institutions threatened like never before. Now, I know that in times as polarized as these, most of you have already made up your mind. But maybe you're still not sure which candidate you'll vote for, or whether you'll vote at all. Maybe you're tired of the direction we're headed, but you can't see a better path yet, or you just don't know enough about the person who wants to lead us there. So let me tell you about my friend, Joe Biden.
Dude, my man Barack brought the heat. And he was going to end up and, you know, tell you about Joe Biden, about how he helped with policy, how he helped with it. It's like, motherfucker, he just signed his name on the document saying he was vice. He basically just rubber stamped the stuff, man. I mean, eight year run as vice president now. I mean, is that just because you're vice president, does it mean you automatically want to become president? Good luck, man. I wouldn't want that job for fucking shit. Okay? It's enough political talk. Let's try to squeeze in some sports. I mean, you probably hear it in the background. Denver, Utah. Series is tied 1-1, but with 4 minutes. That was 6 minutes in the fourth. Utah's up 106-72, and they're about to take this shit. I think the surprise here is they came out with a purpose. Gobert had it was like 20-9 in like the first half. He was controlling the center. Conley's had seven threes, came back fresh off the birth of his child. I thought that when you leave the bubble, you've got to have like a 10-day quarantine. I don't know, but hey, good for them. I didn't really have a horse in this matchup. I mean, if you want me to pick, I could care less who wins that one. I mean, looking at the main one that piqued my interest was obviously Blazers Lakers, which game one, the Blazers end up, oh shit, bowls out there and some garbage time. That dude can move for a 7'2" guy. But yeah. It was the Blazers Lakers. That was the one. Trailblazers ended up winning that one 193. Lakers looked anemic and out of sorts. One of the big stories from this from that game was definitely KCP. Apparently, did he play 60 minutes and had one point? And you've seen him do this a number of times. So you're thinking in the next game, he's going to come out jacket. And yes, that's what he did. I mean, they came out. The Blazers came out the next game too. And, I mean, they didn't have it. They got blowed out. I mean, where were we at? Let's look, 88-111. It was over by halftime. I mean, let's look, looking at the box score. Anthony, 27 minutes? 1-for-6. That's Anthony. Who's Anthony? Those are the Blazers. Yeah. So Blazers, Gabriel, the 7-footer, was a Sacramento King. And the Kings, I guess, let him go. Ends up with Portland. And they tell this story about how the guy's on an Uber, gets into a conversation with the Uber driver, older guy, real fascinating conversation, realizes that he left his wallet in the Uber, tries to contact the guy, can't contact him. The guy realizes he has his wallet, finds him, hunts him down, and brings back his wallet. And Gabriel is overjoyed. Starts thinking, though, that this guy's pretty old to be driving Uber, man. I mean, with this COVID, So he proceeds to put like $1,200 in an account for the dude. And the dude's like, gets in contact with the newspaper and's like, yeah, I'll always be a fan of that guy. Hopefully that kid makes the team. Because you think to yourself, yeah, he's an NBA player and just give up $1,200 just like that. He ain't making that good of money. I don't want to keep that shit, buddy. But basically, the highlight of the loss would be that Damian Lillard dislocated his finger in the end of the game. And if Damian Lillard is out of the equation, so are the Blazers. I mean, they're probably going to be anyway. The Lakers just got to put their head down and just finish that shit. The Miami Heat, they're up 2-0 in their series. They won the last 109-100. The Heat have a really, really good team, man. Good young team. Butler, irrational confidence guy. Look at Bol Bol. Tyler Hero, a rookie. What's the guy's name? Abayayu or whatever the fuck his name. Yeah, anyway. Another funny, well, not a funny matchup. The one matchup that kind of got to me was it was just like with the Blazers and the Lakers, how it was the Blazers were 8 and the Lakers were 1, and the Blazers go out and win the first game. The Orlando Magic playing the Bucks, who the Bucks are the number one seed, number one in the East. Orlando, 8 in the East. Orlando comes out and beats them in the first game. So, of course, they come back this next game and blow them the hell out. I mean, looking at the, what was it, 111-96. A Greek Freak had like, he went like 20, he had 20 points, 20 rebounds. He was a force. He's looking like the MVP that he's going to be. I don't see him going some other place. I get a lot of freaking Warriors fans trying to tell me that he's going to leave them. Thunder Rockets. Rockets are up 2-0. I wanted to see work for Chris Paul, but I don't think, yeah, it's not going to happen. And then the Rockets are doing that with Westbrook on the shelf with a, was it a thigh contusion? Yeah. You can stick a fork in them. They're pretty much done. Raptors, Nets. Raptors are up 3-0. Win the last one, 117-92. Here, another Clippers, Mavericks. They're going to be playing tonight, and it's a 1-1 tie. Mavs went off. Like, you figure in the first game, the unicorn, another 7'6" jump shooting dude gets ejected. What do you got? Teed up twice and ejected and left it on the shoulders of Luka. We've already talked about Luka early on in this shit. We know about him. We could have had him, but we got Bagley's ass. But point is Mavericks come back and win. What was the score? They come back to win as a 127-114. So the Clippers, I don't think they haven't had all their players together. So once they get that old cohesion thing going, they're going to take care of the Mavericks. Celtics, Lakers. Celtics are up 2-0 on the 76ers, and they're getting ready to play here next. I'm pretty sure if the Celtics beat them, 76ers, I don't think Brett Brown will even. He probably won't even be leave the bubble. Still head coach, probably shouldn't. You want to talk about underachieving? Yeah. I mean, and in a nutshell, that's. I mean, I'm sure there's some other highs and lows, but I think that's all I want to lay down. Sarcastically speaking about sports. Good night, good day, goodbye, good whatever. But get out. No, don't get out. Just leave.
That's that Headhunter Productions. You don't know nothing about that Headhunter.
Headhunter, son?